This evening is Memorial Day for soldiers that fell on the defense of the Jewish people in Israel. And therefore, I just wanted to devote a few words to the memory of all those that sacrificed their lives for the Jewish people in the modern state of Israel. A few years ago, the state of Israel decided that this particular day would not be limited to soldiers that fell in war, but rather it would be expanded to, unfortunately, I would say, the civilian soldiers of the last few years. As everybody knows, in the last few years, besides wars that have fought in the battlefield, there's another war that's fought back home. And that, of course, is which war?
Sacrifices for peace.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. That's ancient history already. Thank God. Not so ancient. I lived through it. Pardon? Civilians have died in which particular war? Terror. Terror. All the various terror attacks since the year 2000 and on were so severe that the state of Israel decided to expand this day not just to those that fell on the defense of the Jewish people on the battlefield, but to those that fell in the defense of the Jewish people back home. Unfortunately, during those particular years, when I was living in Israel at the time, there was a terrible joke going around, and the joke went like this. Once upon a time, you were considered courageous and brave if you went out to the battlefield. Tonight, you're considered courageous or brave if you go to the coffee shop. If you all recall, not just so long ago, this is not ancient history, if you went to a coffee shop, there was a very high probability you'd get blown up, because terrorists were, suicide bombers were going into coffee shops right and left during that course of time. So basically, this day is for both those that fought in the battlefield and those that fought back home. And every time a day like this comes along, which is usually once a year, I always think of the date. On a normal year, the date of Yom HaZikaron, of Remembrance Day for Israeli soldiers, is always on Dalet Iyar, the 4th of Iyar. That's the day before Hei Iyar, which is Independence Day, because on Dalet Iyar, the Etzion block, which is just outside of Jerusalem, about 13, 14-minute drive outside Jerusalem, fell to Jordanian hands. And it was because of that particular episode, or that episode along with others, that induced Ben-Gurion to indeed declare independence on the 5th of Iyar. Now, I happen to live in the Etzion block. I lived in Efrat. So obviously, this was very close to my heart. And I'm always reminded of a very scary story that I heard from my Rebbe, Rabbi Riskin, so many times, that it just reverberates in my mind every year on this day. And I'll share the story with you. There was a Hasidic rabbi that lost both his wife and his children in the Holocaust and ended up at the end of the war on the west side of New York City. He had a little shtiebel. Everyone know what a shtiebel is? Mm-hmm. Yeah? A shtiebel, for everyone who doesn't know, is basically a small little shul, about 20, 30 men, around the same amount of women. It's a very small place. Usually it's within the rabbi's home. And basically, after davening on Shabbos, his children, it's a very small group. In 1960-something, this particular Rebbe decides he's going to Aliyah to Israel. He remarried, and he had two sons, and he made Aliyah to Israel. Fate had it that we had no luck. The Gemara says, "En mazal Yisrael," there's no luck to the Jewish people, unfortunately, right after the destruction of the temple. And one son died in the Six-Day War, and the second son died in the Yom Kippur War. 1973. In 1973, there was a mission during the course of the war, various Jewish leaders to Israel, and one of the people on the mission that was asked to lead the mission was my Rebbe, Rabbi Riskin. On the plane, they give out the Israeli newspaper called Ma'ariv, a very important Israeli newspaper. By the way, do you know why they call it Ma'ariv or Ma'ariv? It used to come out in the evening. So they called it Ma'ariv. Right after Ma'ariv, you got the paper, it was called Ma'ariv. But since then, it comes out every morning like a normal newspaper in the afternoon. They're giving out Ma'ariv on the plane, and basically, he sees their headline, this particular person fell, and he recognizes the name. So as soon as the plane landed in Lod Airport, he basically asked the group for 2 hours. He went to Jerusalem to pay a shiva call by this Rebbe. He comes into the room. The room is packed. No one's saying anything. Because the halacha is that when you go to pay a shiva call, you're not supposed to begin talking until the mourner himself or herself begins the conversation. So if you go to a shiva house and nobody talks, meaning the mourners don't talk, then you're just going to sit there and say nothing. This went on for about 45 minutes. No one said a word. Finally, Rabbi Riskin gets up and he goes to the mourner and he says the customary words that you say when you part from a mourner. May God comfort you together with all mourners of Zion and Jerusalem. This Hasidic Rebbe looks up at Rabbi Riskin and says, Rabbi Riskin, why do we say Hamakom? Hamakom literally means what in Hebrew?
The place.
That's not a normal way that we refer to God. God has many names. God has seven names that we don't erase. And if any of those seven names are written on a piece of paper, then what's the halacha? What do we have to do with that piece of paper? You have to bury it. So God has many names, and yet when you say a shibakol, you always say Hamakom, the place. Very strange name to refer to God. And this Rebbe answered the question. He said, when my wife and my kids were killed in the Holocaust, they were just killed because they were Jews. That was it. They were killed, their life came to an abrupt stop, and that was it. But now my two sons were killed on the defense of the state of Israel. And these are the two sons that I gave birth to following the war. What could be my comfort? What comfort can you offer me now? I tried again, and it was taken away. The only comfort is going to be the makom, the place. When I open up my window in the city of Jerusalem, and I see this city rebuilt more than it's ever been in Jewish history, the amount of Torah learning that goes on in that city per day is more than ever before, even at the times of Yahushua and David HaMelech and all the great leaders of the Jewish people from the Bible, that's the only thing that can comfort me. There is indeed a very big difference between Holocaust Memorial Day and Remembrance Day for Israeli soldiers and terror victims. On Holocaust Memorial Day, we have to recall the tragedy and basically scream out to God one thing, give up. But on this particular day, it's a little different. They were killed, and it's a tragedy that this is what we have to pay after we came back to the land of Israel. But what's amazing is, look what we've built. Look what their blood was able to produce. A beautiful state in the land of Israel, with all its challenges and its problems, and you all can read about it. But the truth of the matter is, when you think about it at the end of the day, with all the things that are happening in Israel today, and I won't go into them, the bottom line is, having a Jewish state and a Jewish homeland after almost 2,000 years of exile is nothing less than a miracle. And that's the makom, the place that may comfort someone on a day like this. You know, many, many different religious leaders have always stated that a religious Jew shouldn't sing Hatikvah. Because Hatikvah was written by who? Who wrote Hatikvah? Oh, come on. Everyone here went to Camp Kadima. No one knows who wrote Hatikvah. No? Naftali? Doesn't make a difference. I'll tell you why it doesn't make a difference. Because they say the man was a nut. The man who knows what. First of all, I have to tell you, just for your edification, his granddaughter was the president of a sisterhood of one of my teachers back in America. Maplehood was Orange. And he told me, she told the rabbi, who told me in turn, that first of all, he was a Shomer Shabbos Jew, number one. Number two, he was crazy. He was crazy, he was drinking, he was crazy. He wrote Hatikvah. So basically they say, of all things you can sing, why do you sing Hatikvah?
What?
I think his first full name was Naftali Hertz. Hertzberg or something like that. I always answer the same thing. And I answer it in the name of Rav Soloveitchik. I say, Hatikvah could have been this song, that song, written by this author or that author. The truth of the matter is, Jewish blood is saturated in that song. Jewish soldiers died for that song and for that idea of Hatikvah, of hope. And therefore, I sing Hatikvah to this very day.